What I'm saying is that Agabus came after the Messiah.
Yeah.
He also came after Pentecost.
Yeah.
Therefore, prophecy should not be dead just because we're in the post, after Pentecost period of time. Now,
well,
you told me during the pause that your gift is the gift of knowledge, rightly dividing.
I agree with that.
Okay, the prophecy.
Well, how did I get it?
Okay. You're not a prophet yourself, but you have understanding of the prophecies in the Word.
Yeah. You see, being the spirit of prophecy, all right. If you got the spirit of Yahweh within you, Yahshua can give you prophecy, can't he? Because he is the spirit of prophecy. And so he gave to all of the prophets back there, right on through. And he can still give prophecy today. I'm a prophesying this. Now, I'm going to just prophesy this. I'm not a prophet, but I do believe, and I do see, and it seemed like it came up on me so quick and so sudden, that the 10 nations, or the 10 total kingdoms, will come out of Esau, out of the Arab nations around Israel.
That's what you believe?
Yeah.
You know, you derive this knowledge from the gift of knowledge of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I derived this knowledge for the reason. And for this reason, so the man of sin, when he moves into the temple that will be built in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
and the scripture said he will, that the surrounding Arab nations who are strictly Gentiles hate Israel. You know that, Esau.
They hate his guts, yes.
Yeah, all right. So he could move in there and say, all right, if you give me the power, your power, we'll get rid of Israel. And so they will give them their strength and their power over to the man of sin, the Pope of Rome. And in so doing then, we will drive Israel out, and they will. Can't you see how they would so much easier than the common market nations would?
Oh, yes.
You see?
I'm tired of hearing this common market.
I don't believe it.
Shit.
I don't believe it at all now. So this just come on me all at one day, just like that. So that's where they're going to come from. And now I can see why.
I thought that Ishmael was the father of the Arab peoples.
Ishmael. No, Esau is.
Esau, okay.
Yeah. So Esau is the twin brother of Jacob.
Yes, I know this.
All right.
I was just reading that last night. Yes,
and the scripture says, you know, that thy brother Jacob is going on about that. Thou shalt be completely wiped out because of the hatred against thy brother Jacob. So the twins, don't you see? When Esau sold his birthright from Mesopotamia, he sold all of that land, all of the promises to Israel, didn't he?
Try to get it back.
Yeah, and that's wanting it back now. He's sorry of his deal. And that hatred has persisted ever since, hasn't it? So this is what's happening. But then I can see then how that these 10 nations will come out, these 10 horns, these 10 nations, who have received no kingdom to yet receive power.
You're saying that the man of sin will also be an Arab, a Muslim?
No, the man of sin is a Pope of Rome.
Oh, okay.
Papal power, I know that.
Okay.
I've done proved that out.
Okay. Now, let me move on to some of these other topics, if I may. You covered two items at once. Prophecy, or the lack of it today, and knowledge, which allows you to rightly discern the word of Yahweh as it's in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Do you feel that there will be prophets again?
Yeah. But they're going to come out of Israel, the two prophets, out of Israel and Judah.
The two witnesses.
Yeah, under the 144,000, they're going to be the prophets. He says that, and these are, he tells us right here, who they are. When you ask the question, I will answer it by the scripture. And it does read like this. In verse 10, chapter 11, Revelation. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. These two prophets, they were two houses of Israel. House of Israel, house of Judah.
And they prophesied.
Yeah, they prophesied.
It says they're prophets.
Yeah, see?
Okay, I'll tell you what I thought, okay? My humble view of it. I thought all along, as of late, that the two witnesses were two leaders of a whole bunch of prophets characterized by the army of Joel. You've read about the army of Joel? In the book of Joel, it talks about a great army.
Oh, yeah, I read
it. And they do a lot of damage. They do a lot of damage.
Well, now you can't refer to 1 and 2 of Joel, because that's fulfilled for the Babylonian captivity.
It was?
Yeah, it was.
It says there that it was done by the word of Yahweh. I took that to mean they were prophets. But anyway, I did always feel, as of late, that the two witnesses were two leaders of a much bigger crowd.
Well, I'll give you the reason. Was you there this afternoon when we talked there?
Oh, yes. Yesterday afternoon.
Well, yes, but we were talking about this afternoon.
Oh, you were? Okay, I missed it.
Yeah, I know. You stopped and asked me if you could make a tape tonight.
Yeah, and I went to town to buy the tape, and you were talking about it.
Okay, now you see, here's what it says here about this. Getting over here now. I will give power to my two witnesses, Revelation 11:3. And they shall prophesy 1,200 and 80 days. These are, that's going to tell us who they are. These are the two olive trees. All right, they're two olive trees. I have to accept that, won't I? And the two candlesticks, see. Let's stand before Yahweh the whole earth. So now we've got two olive trees and we've got two candlesticks. Then, when I read this, I said, okay, something is revealed to me. I said, now I'm going to find who the olive trees, I knew who the olive trees are. Judah being the green olive tree. Well, if it's a green olive tree, and in Kings, when they were divided, in the 10 and 2 tribes, the First Kings chapter 12, they become two olive trees. See? These are the two olive trees.
Wait, you say Judah was a green olive tree?
Yeah, Judah is a green olive tree. That's the 16th chapter of Jeremiah, where Judah is called the green olive tree. If anybody take care of them, put your first four loose. I gotta keep that to get some more made. That went on the tape, too. I didn't mean for it to.
I'll pause while you look.
Oh. Then Yahweh called the name.
Well, excuse me. What verse is this again?
Well, I'm going to read from verse 15. It says, what hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? From thee? When thou doth evil, then thou rejoicest. And Yahweh shall call thy name a green olive tree.
Now this is Judah.
Yeah, this is Judah.
Jeremiah chapter 11.
16.
Okay.
A green olive tree, fair and goodly fruit. Pardon me. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled upon it, and the branches were broken off. That's what Romans 11 says, the branches were broken off. That thou being wild might be grafted in. See, all right, and that's what they've actually, so they were the green olive tree.
But that's Judah.
That's Judah.
Judah's only one tribe of Israel.
Okay, that was the Judah and Benjamin were two tribes.
That's right, okay, I buy that.
Two tribes. Now then, in 1 Kings, when the 10 tribes went after Jeroboam, and the 2 tribes traded with Rehoboam, then it was Jeroboam that built the altar, one in Bethel and one in Dan, and set up idols. He said, these be the gods that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And they went under to Bethel, even under Dan, and they worshiped the idol. They believed the cat, see. And this thing become a sin. So these two were divided there. Then it became two olive trees. If you take a fruit tree, and it's got roots, and you cut the roots plumb right on down, and you set one over here and one over there.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but the whole thing, the whole picture would make a lot more sense as you describe it if Israel had been called the olive tree in the prophecy. Because I always felt that Israel was the trunk, and Judah was the branch that broke off and went on its own.
The whole house of Israel, the whole house of Israel is called a green tree. I'll read that to you, see.
Where is that?
All right, let me read it.
I'll put on pause.
Wait a minute now.
I'll go on pause while you're there. Okay, what chapter and verse again?
Well, this is in the 17th chapter of Ezekiel. You can put it on pause if you like. But I'm going to read this to you. It says, "And all of the trees of the field shall know that I, Yahweh, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, and have dried up the green tree." I'm sorry about this, but the green tree is only described as the kingdom of Judah here, under Zedekiah. But Romans speaks about the whole house of Israel, we see. But after they become two kings.
Oh, I see. Romans talks about it being a... does Romans describe it as an olive tree?
11th, he describes it as the olive tree. And the Gentiles being grafted into the tame olive tree, which was the whole house of Israel, there.
Let's take a look at that. I should have brought my own Bible. Okay, I found what you're talking about. Romans 11, verse 17.
Okay.
"But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the richness of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches." Okay, it's obviously talking about Israel being an olive tree.
Yeah.
So we have a witness from Romans and from Jeremiah that Israel and Judah are olive trees.
Yeah.
Okay, now I buy it. It makes sense.
You see, they mean the olive trees. That's what it said in Revelation 11, doesn't it? These are the two olive trees.
Okay.
It's wonderful when this was revealed to me.
Okay. This is good. Now, two olive trees are also mentioned in another book of the prophets, I think Ezekiel.
Zechariah,
that's it.
Zechariah 3.
He had a chance to see these two golden lamp stands and olive trees.
Did you get my track on the two witnesses?
I may have seen it a long time ago, but I don't have it now.
You don't? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You leave us your address.
Oh, I sure will. Okay.
And we'll get you one.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, it's okay. Okay, I'll just give you my card and put my name and address on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, all right. So what we're leading up to here is that while we have no strong spirit of prophecy now, you believe that it's coming soon, and it will be in the form of the two witnesses.
And I'm going to give the quotation.
Okay.
All right. Acts 3:19.
Oh, that's a familiar verse. What I forget
All
what
right.
it says.
All right, it reads like this. "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh. And he shall send Yahshua the Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times..."
Yes.
"...until the time of restoring all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets of the world again. Till the restoration age." So, who is a forerunner of this but the two prophets? The two witnesses, just before Yahshua returns. So the refreshing and the power of the Holy Spirit will be upon them so powerful, they'll have power to...
Are you referring to the latter rain?
Well, it said, "I will give them the latter rain moderately, and of course come down from the rain, the early and the latter rain." And the margin of my Bible says, teachers of righteousness. See, that's what the margin reads. I'll give you teachers of righteousness. Well, of course, that's what the two witnesses are going to do. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. People think they're doing it. Armstrong thinks he's doing it. This man thinks they're doing it. But they're not proclaiming that Yahweh is the name, Elijah, are they? Elijah message. No.
Well, now let's pause a minute. So far, we have a lot of preachers of righteousness. And I've been impressed with the skills and talents of a lot of holy name elders. They're doing the best they can, I know.
Yeah.
Out of them all, over the years, who do you feel represented the strongest, most powerful outreach that you've seen in your life?
Who would I say?
Who was doing the best job in your eyes?
Well, I would say the Church of God.
But they're not Yahwists.
No.
But do you feel the Church of God was doing the best job?
They were doing a better job than any of the churches I know of.
What was their secret? Why do you say that? What can we do here in the assembly I'm with? What can we do to duplicate their success? What are we lacking?
Well,
help us.
We can't. You see, it's much easier to use the pagan name, so to speak, the word God and Lord and everything like that.
You bet.
That's easier. Well, see, we're not popular because of this. But I'm surprised how Yahweh has multiplied. And look at the people's here. It looks like an army came down there. So many people.
Yeah, and we want more. Huh? But what I'm asking is this. The Church of God truly is impressive. The Church of God Seventh Day and the Armstrong Church. Surely. But amongst the Holy Name people, which ministry has excited you the most over the years?
Well, I will say this. When I was in the Church of God, Elder Duggar. Yeah. He was a good man. And he was one of my favorite ministers in the Church of God. And I didn't think the church would absolutely function without him. See? But he deceived me.
Oh, no kidding.
All right.
Okay, so he was one of these talented types.
Huh?
Who, he was a talented man, but he misused it ultimately.
Yeah, you see, he's the one who went to Jerusalem. He started to work there. Well, he deceived me, and not only me, but all the ministers. And here's where he did it. I was a licensed minister. And they were teaching at the headquarters of the Church of God that was in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Well, I believed that. I was preaching it. And I said, our headquarters, it was in Jerusalem, and my credentials is from Jerusalem, from the headquarters of the Church of God. Well, it sounded beautiful. Then when I found out the truth, all he done was Stanbury, Missouri. They got the ministers, took all the ministers' licenses and wrote them all out and put them in a box and sent them to Jerusalem. And a woman over there mailed them back to get the stamp of Jerusalem on the minister.
You wouldn't make that up, would you?
Huh? I told Brother Duggar, I said, Brother Duggar, I said, that's deceiving. That's wrong.
I'm angry. I'm livid. I can't believe this.
Okay. It's true. You're going to be the witness on it. That's where
Is that why you were shaking your head a moment ago? Because you knew about this, Mrs. Bodine?
Yeah.
Okay.
You see, and knowing this, it shattered my confidence, wouldn't it, George?
I would. Oh, I'd be heartbroken. All right. Let me move on. Because I can't believe it. I don't even want to dwell on it.
No, but that's true.
Okay, if you were in charge of this assembly here, which is working out of Rocheport, what would you do? What would you do? If you were in charge here, what would you do?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because I don't know the situation here.
What would you do if you had a new assembly to start with?
Well, I'd teach them the truth and tell them the truth. I always did. I don't believe. Here's me. I had to do it one time. I told an assembly one time. I said, I believe a certain thing, but I said, I was wrong.
You admit it?
I admit it.
Yeah.
And one minister got up and said, I can say one thing about Brother Bodine. He's honest enough. If he's wrong, he'll admit it.
What qualities do you feel that you lacked along the way that you wish you had?
What?
What qualities do you think you lacked over the years that you wish you had developed more?
Well, that's a hard question to answer.
Patience?
Patience. And I told my wife that I had the patience of Job, but not as much of it. The same kind.
He works fast and hard, expects everybody to do the same.
I want to be honest in all of my teaching. And if anybody proves me wrong, I'll quit teaching it then.
Okay. Then let's move on. Okay.
Okay.
There's other gifts that I want to cover before we run out of tape.
Okay.
There's two that I'm going to focus in on now because they're either controversial or they have a lot of impact. Healing and speaking in tongues or languages. We're going to talk about healing first because I think it's more important.
Okay.
I need all the encouragement I can get. I know of some people who have been healed in the names of Jesus Christ and God and Lord. And I know of some people who have been healed in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Healing, but it doesn't seem to matter from the outside which way you do it. The world abounds in stories about healing in the name of Jesus. False healers and true healers.
True.
It gets very hard for me sometimes to find encouraging stories in the Holy Name people about healing. I have heard some splendid, encouraging and uplifting stories of people who received mercy because they believed on the name of Yahshua. I would like you to share with me some stories that would encourage me and build my faith, because I believe that gift should be available at all times.
I do too. Now I want to give you an experience I have.
Okay.
I was living in Detroit, Michigan, and I was a builder, building houses.
Okay.
And I got sick. And my fever ran from 103 to 104, 4.5 for 8 days. And I got to where this is the only way I could sleep would be a chair like this. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't sit down. I was so sore from all in through here.
Did you think you were going to die?
Yeah, I did. I told my wife about 2 o'clock one morning. I said, if y'all don't undertake, I ain't going to make it. That's what I said. I can't. And so James says, no, I'm not James, but one of the prophets said, if we pray earnestly that it rain not in the days of his, and it, he prayed earnestly that it didn't rain. Then he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. Earnestly. Now there is difference in walking up and asking a prayer. But when you pray earnestly, you're going to get the answer. Now when it got to the point, I told my wife, I said, I can't make it unless something happened. I was so, I couldn't eat nothing. And I was just absolutely weak. Well, I don't know how long I prayed, but we prayed earnestly, and I had an awful high fever. I prayed till I was totally exhausted, earnestly. And my daughter was sleeping. All I had was a trailer 8 foot wide and 16 foot long. That's what we were living in. Very little one. And she's sleeping on the little army cot down there.
Boy.
Oh, and so what happened then? She got up on the way it was. I said, Gwendolyn, would you get up here on the bed and let me lay on the cot? And I laid down on the cot. I just went unconscious nearly. I just slept just as sound as a man could sleep. And I woke up about daylight, and my pajamas were just as wet as they could possibly be.
Oh, you sweat.
Okay. Sweat. I had completely sweat. I didn't have a bit of fever. My fever had gone. I took an enema that morning, and from my bowels passed a piece of plum peeling this big around.
Plum peeling?
Plum peeling. I had eaten one of these big blue plums in my lunch, and that had stuck inside of me to my intestines.
Oh.
And that passed out. The cause was removed. And then I went down that very afternoon, after I was going through 8 days of this, to the real estate office, and they gave me the blueprint, and I went to work the next morning.
Hallelujah.
Now, I know Yahweh healed me. You can't make me believe otherwise. But I tell you what, we prayed earnestly. There's a difference in prayer, ain't there? If we pray earnestly, then Yahweh touched me, and He moved the cause, and I got well.
Well, did you ever have an experience where you prayed for something and it wasn't earnest?
Well, I'll tell you what I have prayed for. I'll tell you what happened. When I was in the Church of God, I knew nothing about the name at all. This was back in 36, 37. There was a whole meeting down in Seaman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And there was a lady, old lady there. She got ptomaine poison. Oh, that poor old thing was sick. And I was living in a little old trailer, same trailer, before I pulled it to Michigan. And she said, oh, go get Brother Bogey. Let him come up and pray for me. I'm going to die. So I went up there and I prayed earnestly for the sister. That poor old thing hopped plumb out of that bed and jumped up and down. And she says, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And Yahweh healed her right there on the spot. I experienced that. I believe I would have the gift of healing if I would exercise it more.
You see, that story's nice that you just told me.
Huh?
That story you just told me is nice.
Well, that's just
It is, but it's not in the holy name. And
the first one was.
The first one was.
I was healed, I mean, not the first one, but the second when I was healed, it was.
Okay.
But the other wasn't.
Yeah, that was in the Church of God.
Church of God.
But you see, I claim, now that the holy name has been revealed, the rules of the game are a little different now.
And all right.
If I know the name, and it's the only name I go by, then that is where I need to be uplifted. I don't really want to know what happened in the Church of God. It doesn't interest me. Because I'm going by new light. I've got to know what happens under new light. And I need to have a good catalog of evidence and encouragement in this new light. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. I appreciate it then. Your wife indicated that she knew about it. Would you like to come here and tell me what you know?
I was healed of a smoking habit.
A smoking habit?
Yes, sir. And I prayed. I had tried to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. And the more I tried, the worse I was, because it brought it to mind all the time. And then I prayed the Almighty would heal me. And I prayed and I said, I know I don't have the strength to do it on my own. And I knew that I would go back to the smoking if it was just a quit. Because I'd tried it so many times. And it wasn't but a very few days, that I got sick, real sick. And I was in bed, and I didn't know if I was going to live or die. And then I began to get better, and finally, after a few days, I healed up, you know, and all. And during the time that I was in bed, I couldn't stand the smell of a cigarette. And when I got up then, I never wanted a cigarette. I never wanted one, and I was an addict. I never even wanted it. I never thought of it. You could smoke around me and blow it all over me, and I wouldn't even notice it.
And that's still true today?
That's true today, and that's years ago.
You must have really cleaned your system out.
It is. And I had a physical examination this year. The doctor said, "You are just a healthy old woman." And I can breathe as far as anyone can, and I was up to 3 packs a day.
Okay, and this was in the Holy Name?
It was in the Holy Name.
Okay. All right, this is fine. Now, between the two of you, do you know of any other stories or incidents of people you know who were uniquely blessed with a healing under the authority of the divine name of Yahshua?
I don't recall. Don't recall any at this time. May foretold.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know of a case that happened in the other name.
Well, because I can get that from anybody.
I know it. So I won't mention this. But in the Holy Name now, I'm just trying to recall. I know Yahweh is able to do these things.
Of course.
And I realize that all the healing, the Boston thing done was in the Holy Name. It wasn't in the Lord God Jesus. I know that. And I know that the healing is one of the gifts. Now, a brother showed me something. I'll give you something else, too. He says, you look up the word healing in 1 Corinthians, and it said he gives them the gift of cure from the Concordance. That's what that word heal, it means a gift of cure.
That's
see?
Right.
Is that right?
That's right. By the way, when I talk about healing, infirmity, I'm not talking about thorns in the flesh. Okay, I know what it is to have a thorn in the flesh, like Paul had.
Yeah.
That's a different ball game. I'm talking about specific needs, because a thorn in the flesh is something different, and it's just something you have to live with. Okay, I can accept that. Okay, but like in a case where you were going to die, you had high fever, okay, that's a case where you needed healing.
Yeah.
And in your case, Mrs. Bodine, you had this terrible addiction, and you really wanted to get out of it. You probably sensed that it was killing you, and it was probably impacting your spiritual growth too, you know? So these are not thorns in the flesh. These are cases where a healing was needed.
Now there was when this truth was about the gift of cure, yeah. He applied what I did because of the gift of cure. So my niece by marriage, a little boy, little baby, was laying there on the bed with a high fever. That's where the little thing was breathing. When I went down to Alabama to visit her. And I told Brother McBride, I said, baby's going to die if you don't do something for it. There's two old women there, called themselves nurses. All they was doing, pouring alfalfa tea down the little thing's throat. And he just cried all the time. And I went up to a drugstore. I knew what to do for the baby. I went up there, and I bought a bottle of pneumotizing.
Of what?
Pneumotizing. And I got a little bottle of spirits of nitre. So I came back down.
Were these popular medicines at the time?
Yeah, they are now. I came back, and I got a little rag about so big, and I put this new mortisine all over this rag, and I put this child's throat all down over the chest.
How did you know to do this?
Well, I had practiced it on my own daughter. Okay. I don't know where I got it. And then I took the spirits of nitre, and I put a little water in the glass, you know, and put a little sugar in, and then I put several drops of this spirits of nitre in this water in a spoon, and I give it to this little baby down, and it run his fever down. It run his fever down. The next morning, the little thing's fever was gone. It's laying there on the bed, kicking its little legs and laughing.
Hallelujah.
And her mother, his mother said, Uncle Bill said, if you hadn't have took care of my baby, it would have died. You see, this is the first thing comes to my mind, what to do. Okay. Well, maybe that was a gift of cure.
Okay, I can buy what you said, Bill, because I know Isaiah had a deal where he had to heal King Zedekiah, or what? Hezekiah,
yeah.
I think it was. And he, when Hezekiah prayed for mercy, and Isaiah came by with some leaves he got from a bush, and he spread them over Hezekiah, and apparently the herbs healed him, okay?
Yeah.
And I'll buy that. But I can't accept this business of saying that a medical doctor has this gift, because you're not going to tell me that a medical doctor has the Holy Spirit.
No.
Now, you know, I can accept that he has a gift of some kind, but it ain't from the Holy Spirit. And those are the ones I want to know about.
Yeah. Well, what about the one that took figs and put on the balls?
That was the one I think I'm talking about.
Yeah, fig leaf, figs.
Figs, yeah.
Yeah, see? That's right.
All right. Well, I've just about taken covered that then. What I'd like to do is put the tape recorder on pause. I'm going to go get my sweater because I'm feeling a little chilly. Okay. And I'm going to come back, right back. And I'm going to ask you about tongues, okay?
You just turn that off, and it'll be plenty warm in here. Then we have a sweater you sit on. I believe this is what was happening. What happened on the day of Pentecost was what Isaiah had reference to. I will read these verses. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, Israel, who he's talking to. To whom he said, this is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Now, on the day of Pentecost, we find recorded in Acts chapter 2, I believe that is exactly, and I will read it again, but over here, when he told them in the second chapter of Acts, and this is the basic foundation of the tongue people, isn't it? They use this chapter.
Second chapter of Acts?
Yeah. For their evidence. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
Can you say that all the Pentecost people is in one accord?
Absolutely not. But when they're speaking in tongues, they are. I find that I could go in there and fake it in many of these groups,
mm-hmm.
and they love that.
Yeah.
And they will momentarily forsake their disagreements just to participate in tongues.
Yeah, all right. Now then, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as the sound of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They weren't down on their knees, wallowing around and hollering and screaming for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they were sitting down in this room.
Sitting? That's interesting. Okay.
See, they were, weren't they? Sitting.
Good. Right.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it stood upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages or tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now this was what was promised back there. Men with other lips and other tongues, I'll speak to this people. And here they were.
In other words, in Isaiah, he was not only prophesying the language, but in order to fulfill it, they would have to be kicked out of Israel so that they would have to come from other lands for Pentecost.
Yeah,
because they're all Israelites there.
Yeah.
And they came from other lands, and they had probably learned the languages of the lands.
Now, I'm going to show you a point here after we get down here. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, about men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Now, I didn't say these were Jews. But the multitude came together and was confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, I made this statement. Now, I said, if the tongues is an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then these brethren were born with it. Because they heard them speak in their language. And so they had the same language that they got on the day of Pentecost, didn't they? Then if them on the day of Pentecost got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then these brethren were born with it because they had the same language they had. Had you thought of that?
No, and I don't understand what you're saying. Repeat it for me.
All right.
Because I lost it.
He said, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in their own language wherein that they was born. They were all amazed and marveled, saying, and all one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? These Galileans were speaking in the name of these Israelites, in their language, in their tongue. Not in the tongue of the Galileans, but in the tongue that they understood where they was born at.
From these different countries.
Yes.
Okay, okay, I dig that, okay.
All right, supposing that we were having a prayer and a bunch of Mexicans came in, or the Spanish people, and didn't know thing we were saying, and we began to speak in their language, and they heard us speak in the tongue when they was born. Well, I say that if the tongues then was the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then these brethren that heard them speak in their own language had the same tongue they had. They was born with it then. You get the point?
Yes.
See? So, this doesn't harmonize what they're commonly teaching. And so, he says, there was Parthians, Medes, and Elamites dwelling at Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus, Pilate, Pontus, and Asia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and parts of Libya, Syria, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Greeks, and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our language, or our tongue, in other words, where the wonderful work of Yahweh. Men with other tongues. Now, let's find what Paul had to say about that. In 1 Corinthians 14, we find here he's talking. And Paul says, he's talking down about here, he says, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding than 10,000 in a foreign language or in an unknown tongue or tongue or in a tongue. That word unknown is in italics, supplied there by the translators. All right. Brethren, be not children. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be children. Now what is it talking about? Be not children in understanding. Be men, like you and I. We understand. So we want to be men. But now if we're mad at each other, we get malice in our hearts,
And let's be children. Let's, what we got to say, let's sit up and put our arms around each other and walk down the road like two little boys or two little girls or got in a fuss and fight with. Just forget it in a few minutes. See what I mean? All right. In the law it is written, with men with other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people. Yet for all of this will they not hear me, saith Yahweh. Wherefore the tongues are for a sign, not for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Didn't say that. Wherefore the tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not.
Okay.
That's right, vice versa is what they teach. Oh, he's got the tongue, so there it is. He's a believer and he got the tongue, the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't teach that.
Okay, now, great. Have you seen it done properly in your lifetime? Have you seen anybody under the authority of Yahweh in Yahshua's name proclaiming the good news to somebody in a language other than his own? Have you ever seen that happen?
You have?
No, I have not. However, Pentecostals claim they do that sometimes. They say they do that sometimes. They'll speak in tongues that they don't understand, but every now and then they'll have an opportunity to preach a sermon in Mexican, Spanish, or in German. This opportunity will come along, and they claim that they do this. But you have never seen it done properly in your life.
No,
have you?
I've seen lots of tongues. Heard a lot of some kind of tongues. Now, I'm not fighting it. I'm not going to say it. Because, you know, there's only one sin that's unpardonable. That's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit.
Are you content to say that you don't understand what's happening in those cases?
Well, I can understand these scriptures. Mm-hmm. Now then, I see that. Here's the way I illustrate it. We are not to judge Yahweh foolish. Now here we are up here. I don't believe there's a oneness in this assembly that's been out there today or yesterday since I've been here that cannot understand English. Do you?
I'd agree with you.
Okay. All right. Now then, why would I get up there before the congregation or in the congregation back there? And Yahweh would give me a message in some foreign language that nobody understood there.
Oh, I can believe that.
You see what I'm talking about?
Well, you see, if there's somebody in the audience who knows another language very well, let's say I knew Greek, okay, which
yeah.
I don't. And you suddenly, when you were given that sermon, you started talking Greek. That would be a sign to me, personally, that Yahweh had a particular message for me. In every case where there's tongues in the scriptures, the people knew at least one other language.
Yeah.
Because after, like in Acts 2 over here, when the first tongues were revealed, when it was all over with, Peter got up and spoke alone. And everybody understood him. Of course, he spoke the Hebrew tongue, because they were there for Pentecost.
Yeah, and true.
And so the tongues was just a temporary thing. So just because we all understand English, that doesn't rule out tongues.
No, it doesn't rule it out, but what I'm driving at, if Yahweh had a message for the people, he could give it to me in the language that everybody already knew about.
Okay.
You see the point? It would look foolish to me for him to give me a tongue in the Greek or Hebrew if he's going to use it, and then have to give somebody over here to interpretate that in the same language everybody else couldn't understand in the first place. You get my point, don't you?
Well, Paul demands this. He said if somebody comes up with a tongue, there's got to be somebody there to interpret it.
All right, but that's something they don't understand.
That's correct.
You've got to have an interpreter.
That's right, and I agree. Now, if we are to penetrate, if we're to penetrate lost sheep in Europe, Asia and
yeah,
Africa.
Now you're getting back to the point that I stand on.
We need this gift.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now then, just supposing, for an example, there was a bunch of people came down from Mexico here. They were Spanish people. They couldn't understand a word we were saying here. Y'all had a message for them. But suppose I was a minister, or you was a minister, and we got up. And Yahweh put upon us the power of the Holy Spirit, and we gave them the message in their language. They could understand it. See?
Yes.
Then there was one among them, say, could understand the English, don't you see? Then he would get up and interpret what I said in Spanish so the whole congregation could be edified. You get the thought? But yet he gave me the message, particularly for these group of people, in their language that they could understand.
Well, this is just an example.
This
never happened.
No, but I'm just showing you what is the way I believe it would actually is. Now, if I went over to Mexico, say to speak, and there was a group of people, and they needed to know what I've got. And I've not learned a man in languages at all, but yet the Holy Spirit come up on me, and he gave me the whole message of salvation to these people in Spanish so they could understand it.
Okay then. I know where you're coming from now on this, and I'm not going to take any more time on it. Okay.
You give a lot to see about it.
Okay, I know exactly what you say now, and I appreciate what you said. Now, I got to ask you a couple other topics briefly, and we'll be done.
Okay.
Israel identity doctrine.
Huh?
The Israel identity doctrine. The teaching that the lost tribes of Israel are represented by peoples populated in Europe, Britain, and America. It's a teaching that's very popular in the worldwide Church of God. Do you believe this teaching?
Well, I tell you what, I do believe there. I believe that England and America is Ephraim and Manasseh.
You believe that?
I'll show you why. Show you why. And I've got something else too. But I show you why I kind of fall for this. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh were the two sons in the Deuteronomy over here.
They put it on pause.
In Deuteronomy 33, I want to read this. I'm going to begin with verse 13. And of Joseph, he said, blessed of Yahweh be his land, for the precious things of the heavens, for the dew, and for the deep that crunches beneath, and for the precious fruit brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chiefest things of the ancient hills, and for the precious things brought forth lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth, for the fullness thereof, and for the good of him that dwelt in the bush, which I believe is Joshua. All right. Let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph. He was the two sons of, he was the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, right?
Right.
Of Joseph. And upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstlings of the bullock. His horns are like the horns of unicorns. Now, a unicorn only has one horn between his eyes, right?
Right.
But horns is plural. So you've got two horns, right? Now notice, like the horns is of unicorns. And with them, the two horns, with them, Ephraim and with them, he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth.
That's beautiful.
All right, now go a little bit further. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. These two horns.
Okay.
Pushing the people together to the ends of the earth. I want to tell you something. This is the best evidence I have ever found who the two horned beast is. Ephraim and Manasseh. With these two horns
gathering together to people together to the ends of the earth. Well, let's put it like that. Ephraim and Manasseh, England and America. Now, when the old man, as Armstrong puts it, the father, you know, when Joseph brought them up to Isaac, his father, he was blind. And so he brought them up and he put the firstborn, Ephraim, on his left hand.
Oh, yeah, I know about this.
You know about
that. He switched the hands. And
he crossed his arms.
He gave the greater blessing to the younger.
Yeah. He said, I have set Ephraim before Manasseh. See? Ephraim, Manasseh, England become a nation before America. Right? This is pretty good evidence. And then Manasseh or America was born. So I can see in this a fulfilling of the two horned beast, and with these two horns, which out of England and America has come the false prophets. They got more false prophets, more false preachers than Protestantism. See?
Okay.
This is a point that I've seen in this. And these two horns are going to do greater miracles. The two horned beasts that he causes fire to come down and deceive them that dwell on the earth. They are, I can see, they could be the Ephraim and Manasseh, the two horns. Because they're pushing the people together to the end of the age, trying to get everybody in unity. You know what we're doing?
Yes.
We'll have to admit, in America, our president is doing everything he can to get all the people to work in harmony together. Right?
Our blessings have turned into a curse then.
Huh?
Our blessings have become a curse then.
Yeah, see?
We don't even know what we're doing.
Well, they don't repent, you see. They're not living their life. But I can see where they're going to do great things, and they're going to do it in the sight of the beast.
All right, now let me ask you this. When all of this culminates, Mark of the Beast, the two witnesses, what's going to happen to organizations like the Assemblies of Yahweh and Messiah?
What's going to happen to them? Well,
we only got a couple minutes left on the tape, so go ahead.
Well, they're going to be persecuted. I know that. But yet Yahweh has promised deliverance. Come out of her, my people. That she be not particular of sin receiver, but if we come out, Yahweh is able to separate it.
Where do we go?
Huh?
Where do we go? Should we go anywhere in particular, or just stand by for further instructions?
He said, 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at the left hand, but the plague shall not come nigh thee than thy dwelling. With thine eye shall thy be. Only behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's Psalm 91.
I believe there's protection against tribulation.
Yeah.
But not against persecution.
No. Well, the thing, if we die, we will gain. If we die for him, we'll gain life.
You bet.
If we live, and if we receive the mark of the beast, then we'll lose our eternal life. That's for sure.
144,000 will be called from people like us?
Yeah.
Or are they under a rock somewhere?
No, I don't know who they are or where they are. Yahweh knows. Just like he knew the 7,000 had bowed their knees to the image of Baal, and the old liar cried out, Oh, they killed everybody but me.
I would just hate to think I'm wasting my time with these people.
Huh?
I'd hate to think I'm wasting my time with these people, and I'd hate to think that they're wasting their time fellowshipping with me.
This year?
Yes.
You do? I don't.
I don't think I'm wasting my time. I'd hate to think that, though.
No, I don't either.
You feel that these are the kind of people that Yahweh will call.
I believe they are.
For the 144,000.
I believe they are, but I don't know who they are. I can't put my finger on them. Why? Because they are children from the 12 tribes of Israel. It's just like Elijah said, I'm the only one that's left. Well, he said, I've got 7,000 having bowed their knees to the image of Baal. I feel like the name being revealed in this age is the sealing of Yahweh going out for that purpose. I believe that.
There was a time when the Sabbath was revealed to me, and I thought that was a great truth.
It was.
And then I learned about the holy names, And that was an even greater truth.
Yes, see? Do you know what? The Sabbath and the name goes right together.
Do you know what the next great truth will be?
I believe it will be in the building of the temple. In Israel, that's going to be a great event when that happens. That's going to fulfill the prophecy.
Building of the temple.